Oh no.
It's okay. Wake up. Wake up. You just had a bad nightmare.
It was terrible. It was horrible.
Last night I woke up with a yelp, sweaty and gasping. In my dream, I was desperately searching for my backpack and unable to find it among a seemingly endless pile of backpacks.
It was a really bad dream.
It's the second nightmare this week. I emerged into reality from the first one in the same manner, as if squeezed through fabric, violently tearing it apart. Of course, I woke Richard. I tell him in hiccupy gasps that I couldn't pack my backpack. As fast as I'd stuff something in, a new pile of gear would grow next to me, as if I was the sorcerer's apprentice of thru-hiking. Richard has this amazing ability to calm me, then fall right back asleep. But I was afraid to sleep, wondering what awaited me in my dreams. One might say I'm anxious. You're listening to the Blissful Hiker podcast. I'm Allison Young, the Blissful Hiker, sometime professional flutist, sometime voice artist, and full-time pedestrian. Thanks so much to Ibex, Wool, and Sea to Summit for their support. Also Summit Orthopedics in the Twin Cities, my choice for two total hip replacements. My goal in sharing stories of walking long-distance trails as a solo female middle-aged titanium-reinforced hiker is to empower you to learn to hike your own hike, too. Sometimes just a casual question gets you thinking about what matters most. I leave this Monday for Tucson to start walking the Arizona Trail. On the phone with my dad yesterday, I shared that I'd sent two resupply boxes ahead filled with homemade and dehydrated food. I then added that I'd packed 4 days of food for my first 50 miles, and that prompted him to veer away from food and ask, "Where does the trail start?" When I replied the Coronado National Memorial southeast of Tucson, he immediately wanted to know what the memorial was memorializing. Well, I guess I gotta ask Dr. Google. A beautiful website popped up with a dated video telling the story of Francisco Vasquez de Coronado, who led the aptly named Coronado Expedition of 1540. A group of Spanish and Aztec warriors, along with slaves, walked these same trails into what is now the Southwest United States. They were on the hunt for the lost cities of gold. Well, they never found the gold, but they did end up changing everything and everyone in their path, usually by force, which led to cultural collapse followed by cultural fusion. We have what is known as the Southwest United States because of this cultural fusion. But wait, there's more history, and this from only 2 years ago. Just before Trump left office, after 7,000 public comments in opposition and the Ninth Circuit trying to stop him, he got a piece of his border wall built right here in a national monument. The southern terminus of the Arizona Trail is right next to this piece of border wall, and it was chosen specifically for its natural and wild beauty at the convergence of four geographic regions, the Madrian, Sonoran, Chihuahuan, and Southern Rockies Mogollon. A monstrosity of steel and concrete not only closed a portion of the trail and marred the views, but it bisected this stupendous sky island terrain, essential habitat for endangered species like the jaguar and ocelot. The Trail Association made attempts to mitigate damage, but they were rebuffed, and it would take a change of administration to put a halt to construction. Still, the trail remained closed due to abandoned materials, unstable soils, and open trenches created from dynamite causing safety concerns until December 31st, when the trail to the border was finally reopened. Just in time for my feet to walk on it. You're listening to the Blissful Hiker podcast, a series of personal essays that explore my journey of self-discovery as a middle-aged woman, sharing the sometimes unglamorous but vital truth about empowerment as badass people who don't need permission to blaze our own trails in this journey we call life. I sit squeezed into a window seat on a completely full flight heading to Tucson. I go through my checklist to assure I have all I need, not that I can do much about it now. I've planned carefully, packed well, and I'm taking with me years of experience. Still, failure and less than optimal circumstances stalk me, both sleeping and waking. Questions like, can I handle this? And do I still have what it takes? Obscure the more useful ones like, what are you looking forward to most? It's not lost on me that this out-of-sorts space I'm in mimics nearly precisely the moment we're experiencing in the Christian calendar. 40 days of roaming in the Arizona desert sounds an awful lot like the penitential season of Lent. The word Lent comes from the Anglo-Saxon and means spring. The pagan roots represent a time of waiting and hoping, a time to plan and imagine a future without cold or snow or hardship. For early Christians, the 6 weeks before Easter prepared converts for baptism. The scripture tells us Jesus deliberately placed himself alone in the wilderness, vulnerable to temptation. Lenten contemplation and solemnity imitates this act through fasting, prayer, and giving up something, all in the service of developing a deeper relationship with God. I find it interesting that in the beginning we were placed in a natural place, less a wilderness than a garden, a perfect place, one of perpetual spring. We're no longer there, both metaphorically and actually, but we long for a return, perhaps not to a life without care or worry, but to one that's healthy, that's connected, that's grounded. The plane pulls out of the gate and rolls over ice, squashed and carved into fanciful arcs by so many wheels. I'm also entering the wilderness and the risk of temptation, temptation to push too hard, to ignore my health, to not listen to the Spirit and my higher self. You know that I take contemplation seriously, that I take no distractions on my walk like headphones, and I pour myself wholeheartedly into making each step the priority. But there's more to this season than a search for the garden and the simplicity and rightness of that communion. And my dreams point to an anxiety beyond simply adopting a positive mental attitude. Last Wednesday, Richard and I gathered with friends and acquaintances to read, sing, and have an oily smudge placed on our foreheads. As the priest drew this cross of ashes, he said these words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In other words, life is short. While it would be natural to interpret that message as a YOLO exhortation to live your best life and pack in all you can before it's over, the ask is less about selfishness and more about humility. We are dust. We're nothing, at least in the cosmic scheme. So what will you do with that knowledge? The plane lifts in a miracle of weight versus the laws of gravity. In the back, I feel it especially, a momentary flicker of fear as we bank sharply over frozen lakes and minuscule trees. Flying is truly awesome when you stop to think about it. So is life. I ponder the questions nervously buzzing around me. Richard always says I have a backup worry. And then I sharpen the lens through this moment of Lent. Part of the reason I walk in beautiful, wild places is to reconnect with the earth, the place that always extends its invitation openly, unreservedly, and without judgment. I'll have 40 days of spring unfolding from slushy trails and frigid nights to blooming cactus in more daylight. I'm a visitor just passing through, leaving behind footsteps that touch the very dust I come from and will return to. I remember a set of flights I took several years back from Minneapolis to New York, then Paris to Geneva. I got off the plane, hopped on a train, found the local bus, then walked up a country road heading south to the Mediterranean. I camped in a damp field that night above Lac Leman, just me and some slugs, cowbells tinkling in the distance. "Who does that?" Richard reminds me often. "I do. I guess when you're on your way, it's best to just get going." My plan is to do the same today. Walk as soon as I'm dropped off and go as far as I can before dark. As anxiety sneaks in and tries to pull up a chair, I tell it, "Okay, but stay over there out of view, because I have more important things to focus on today. I'm starting my Lenten journey on the Arizona Trail, answering the call for a right relationship to the Spirit with each step I take. The man next to me leans into my space, his head flopped forward in sleep. I'll join him soon. This was a very early flight. But will I get to Tucson on time? Will I be so wrecked from travel I can't hike well or relax into the challenge? One of my favorite passages pops into my head. It's from Philippians and goes something like this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known because the goddess is here with you. Don't worry about anything, but in all things through prayer and thanksgiving, speak your truth. And the peace which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind. The trail awaits me, and I'm pretty sure the goddess is there, her arms spread wide. You can subscribe to Blissful Hiker wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a review on Apple to help the show get discovered. Blissful Hiker is on Patreon right now. You can support the show financially as a patron and help me get those stories from the trail. Find a link to Patreon in the show notes or at blissfulhiker.com. Blissful Hiker is also where you can find other episodes, read the blog, see pictures, and contact me, blissfulhiker.com. Next week, I'll touch that border wall and start a rocky, steep, and wondrous journey on the Arizona Trail. Until then, my friends, kia kaha and happy trails.